Azur says that the translation of this verse is that verily, Allah is with those who adopt taqwa, that is, who are righteous, and those who do good. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, states, in the Holy Quran, great emphasis has been laid on virtue and righteousness in comparison to all other commandments. Hazur says, therefore it is taqwa, which is that fundamental aspect that enables a person to attain nearness to God. In the ayat or verse of the Holy Quran that I mentioned, and the translation which everyone would have heard from what I read out, in it Allah the Almighty states, "Inna Allaha ma'al ladzina taqaw," that verily Allah is with those persons who are righteous and those who do good. This is the first matter mentioned in the aforementioned verse of the Holy Quran. Allah the Almighty is with those persons who adopt that path which lead them towards taqwa. Therefore, from this it can be clearly deciphered that in the world there are two types of people. One are those people who walk on the path of taqwa. In order to attain the pleasure of God Almighty, they carry out amal salihah, in other words, righteous deeds. They endeavor to carry out every virtue and pious act. And they do this so that they can acquire the pleasure of God Almighty. They also do this so that they can attain nearness to Allah the Exalted. Second are such people who, although do carry out some good deeds and acts of virtue, however, they do not do so with Allah in view. Or it can be said, in other words, they do not perceive while carrying out any act that Allah the Exalted at all times is overlooking us and casting his glance upon us. Amongst the second type of people is also included those persons who believe in Allah the Almighty, or at least they believe that there is a God in existence, a God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. But such persons, whilst carrying out any act and any deed, do not have the acquiring of God the Exalted's pleasure as a guiding principle. Even when carrying out any act of virtue, they do not do so with the aim of pleasing God Almighty. Then there are those people who do not believe in Allah the Almighty at all. They do not believe that there is a God in existence. They deny the existence of God. God the Almighty says regarding both these latter type of people that I am not with them. God says, I am only with those people who are from the first category, those persons who tread on the path of taqwa. However, the attribute of Rububiyat of God Almighty, that is a providence sustaining and nurturing, even to those who do not tread on the path of taqwa, still blesses them with some rewards and some blessings to the same extent as those who are righteous. But this is only limited to worldly things. For example, there is the sunshine or the air. A mu'min muttaqi, that is a believing and righteous person, receives similar beneficence from this as an atheist does. Or there are other worldly things. For example, there is advancement in science, worldly education, experiments, and also new inventions. After a person puts his mind to work upon these things, even an atheist from making efforts can receive the same fruits from his results as a righteous person can for making the same efforts. Then, for example, there is a farmer who cultivates the land. This requires efforts, an effort on the part of the farmer. An atheist can similarly take benefit from this effort as a righteous person can. Those who do not tread on the path of taqwa, those who are atheists, those who deny the existence of God. If God the Exalted's attributes of Rububiyat, that is providence, and also the attribute of Rahmaniyat, that is grace, were not to operate upon them, then it would be impossible for them to live even a moment of their life. In short, God the Exalted created man in the world, and he established two paths for man to follow, a path of virtue and a path of evil. However, in certain aspects of life, Allah the Almighty bestows both types of people who act in different ways in equal measure. Nonetheless, it is evident that Allah the Exalted has established a law of nature which is applicable on everyone. However, here, I believe I should clarify at this juncture that Allah the Almighty, in order to manifest His power, at times, in the same set of circumstances, at certain times, or often a time, He rewards the efforts of a believer more than others. For example, in farming or agriculture, a believer may appear to have the same type of crops as others, but due to prayers, his yield may prove to be greater. Hadrat Muslih Ma'ud, the second Khalifa, radiallahu ta'ala an, may Allah be pleased with him, when he cultivated land in Sindh, he sent certain elder or holy people of the community to look after the land, and amongst them was Maulvi Qudratullah Sanuri Sahib. I have mentioned this incident previously, that once Hadrat Muslih Ma'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, went on a tour of this very area, and he went to inspect the cotton field. He inquired from Hadrat Maulvi Sahib that how much harvest did he anticipate would this place yield. When Maulvi Sahib gave his estimate, then Hadrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed and others were amongst the group. In their view, Maulvi Sahib's estimation was erroneous. Either him or perhaps Dard Sahib were discussing amongst each other that Maulvi Sahib has overestimated the yield. Hadrat Maulvi Sahib overheard what they were discussing. He said, "Mia Sahib, the estimate that I am presenting, inshallah, God willing, this will yield as much because I have prayed the nafil, the optional prayer, in all four corners of this field, and I have certainty that my prayers will increase the yield of these crops." Subsequently, the crops did yield as much as he had predicted. Despite the fact of similar climate, similar input of fertilizer, similar seeds and similar minerals, etc., placed within the crops. Despite the fact of similar circumstances, by virtue of prayers, God demonstrates the proof of His existence and increases the yield. Even in worldly matters, the proof of God the Almighty being with them can also be found by a muttaqi, a righteous person. However, in addition to this material world, those who believe in God and have perfect and complete faith in Him, for them there exists a spiritual world. The benefits and pleasures of the spiritual world cannot be seen by the worldly people, and neither is it possible for them to do so. Those who walk on the path of taqwa think extremely loftily. They also consider the life to come. They believe in the unseen. They believe in the hereafter, and they have perfect and complete faith in the promises of God Almighty. When they raise their hands in prayer, then they witness the signs of the acceptance of prayers. In the current age, it is the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace, who has taught us the correct and true method of establishing this link in connection with God Almighty. There are numerous Ahmadis who have experienced this connection with the Divine. Due to this true link with God Almighty, God informs them of various matters through the means of dreams and visions. God Almighty informs them that this event or incident will occur in this and this manner, and in exact accordance with that, that comes to pass. This association with God Almighty also means that God Almighty has promises rewards in the life to come. They will also be fulfilled. In short, God the Exalted said, if a person remains established and firm on taqwa, then he will receive the rewards of this life, and he will also receive the rewards of the life to come. Hence, a muttaqi, a righteous person, when he carries out an act of virtue for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then he receives the rewards and blessings of this life and the hereafter. This is the promise of Allah the Almighty, as I mentioned earlier, that for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, one performs amal-e-salihah, in other words, righteous deeds. And here it is extremely important to note that it relates to people who perform such righteous deeds and such pure and pious actions, who do so purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty's pleasure. It is such people who tread on taqwa. There are other people who also may carry out acts of virtue and acts of goodness, but they do not do so for the sake of Allah's contentment. They do not carry out these actions to acquire Allah's pleasure. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has defined a muttaqi, a righteous person, and he says that it is essential to avoid major and minor sins. And not only is it necessary to avoid sins, but it is also necessary to progress in virtues and high morals. Then it is essential to establish a true and faithful connection with God Almighty. When all of these aspects are within a person, then he can call himself a muttaqi. And what is a true and faithful connection with God Almighty? It is this, that one should strive to fulfill the dues of the worship of God Almighty, and one to the maximum extent possible, using all his capabilities, should make every endeavor to fulfill the commands of Allah the Exalted. When such a condition prevails, it is then that Allah the Almighty has spoken about the next stage of taqwa. Allah the Almighty states, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ, and those who do good. The Arabic word muhsin means one who confers a gift or reward to someone else without any effort on the part of the person who receives it. Such a person is called a muhsin. It also means to treat others in a good manner. Another meaning of muhsin is when a person in his own work reaches a stage of excellence. He attains excellent knowledge of the own work he is carrying out. And each act is excellent in the sense that it is in exact accordance to the given time and situation. Thus, there are two types of muhsin. One type hold a heartfelt pain within them and are ever ready and prepared to help others, irrespective of the fact of what religion, what sect, what nation, what race the other person he is serving belongs to. This type of muhsin remains engrossed in service to others, and they want to serve humanity in every way possible. Moreover, they help others in time of need, and they surpass in the service to the extent that they want to bring about ease for others as much as possible. Therefore, it is the duty of every single Ahmadi to harbor these heartfelt sentiments and to serve humanity. And with the grace of Almighty Allah, there are numerous Ahmadis indeed who serve humanity with these very sentiments. They may indeed be Mu'mins or believers. That is, they may be Muslims, but they do not boast about the service they have conferred to others. A mohsin does not entail one who confers a favor upon someone and then mentions that favor he has given to the other person. If one mentions the kind treatment or the favor he has conferred to others, then that would not be a demonstration of taqwa or good qualities. Taqwa entails that when a favor is conferred to another, it should not be mentioned or boasted about. Here, I should give an example of our engineers. Our young engineer volunteers, they travel abroad. They include doctors or professionals from other fields. There are many projects that have started in Africa and they travel there for these projects. In order to provide drinking water to the local underprivileged people, they are installing hand pumps. They are making arrangements to provide electricity to them. Schools are being constructed for them so that education can be easily and readily available to them. Clinics and hospitals are being set up so that health facilities can be made available to them easily and also readily, which can be a means of curing their ailments. In addition, our teachers and doctors, they stay year upon year serving the people there. They live in unfavorable circumstances. Sometimes they live in such places where there is no electricity and no running water, yet they go there and serve with heartfelt sentiments to serve. They go there to be counted among such persons who are included amongst the Mohsinin. Therefore, this is that service and pious and kind treatment that is not carried out for any recompense or reward. Rather, it is carried out purely and only with the taqwa of Allah in the heart for the sake of serving humanity. Similarly, in various countries of the world which are struck by typhoons, earthquakes, etc., various natural disasters occur. There, our doctors and volunteers reach there and they serve these affected places. They do not do so out of a greed for reward or recompense. Rather, the only reason they do this is to attain the contentment of Allah the Exalted. There are many other people who may be serving, but they do not have the pleasure of Allah in view as their aim and goal. So therefore, those people who are serving, who are extending pious treatment to others, those who through their actions and knowledge are benefiting others, and do so only so that they can acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, these are those very people who are muttaqi, righteous, and also mohsin, who do good to others. As I have explained in a khutbah or Friday sermon before, that the Ahmadiyya engineers in Burkina Faso, they have set up a model village where electricity, running water have all been made available. Even footpaths, street lights, and community centers have been established. And within that, local needs are fulfilled. For example, people gather there and hold functions. In the same way, small greenhouses have been constructed where vegetables, etc., have been grown. These fulfill local needs, and also irrigation systems have been set up to provide water for this purpose. Further, hand pumps are being installed in various villages by our people. So whilst they are carrying out this work, and when this work is completed, the happiness of the local people there is something worth observing. When our volunteers return with photographs, then one realizes what an immense task has been carried out that we deem to be trivial, which in their eyes is something of great significance. Joy emanates from their countenances. Those people, often children who are 8 or 9 or 10 years old, who carry buckets of water on their heads for 5 miles just to obtain water. For them to have water available within their homes is a great service and blessing and reward. Now, none of this work is carried out to receive something in return. Nor do we ever boast to them that we have done this for you. In fact, our young Ahmadi engineers who return from this endeavor, they express gratitude that you have given us this opportunity to serve. In addition, they pledge that inshallah, God willing, we will return once again. This year, inshallah, God willing, 5 model villages are being built in various countries. Some auxiliary organizations of countries, for example, Ansarullah, USA and UK, have taken up the responsibility to fund these projects. Humanity First have also provided a contribution towards this. I also said to the Germany Jamaat to participate. Thus, the passion to serve mankind counts these people amongst the Mohsinin. Similarly, those who arrange for funding for these projects also are counted amongst the Mohsinin. An Ahmadi who has accepted the Imam of this time, who has pledged to tread on taqwa, who endeavors to the maximum extent possible according to his capabilities to acquire taqwa, and who also endeavors to be counted amongst the Mohsinin. So God Almighty says that I am with such people. I am always alongside people of this type. Our young Ahmadi volunteers who return after this work, they declare themselves that we face difficulties of this kind or the other in our work. And then they relate how Allah the Almighty displayed the manifestation of His power. And through imperceptible means, their problems were solved. And they say that through this, our faith in the existence of God increased. Similarly, as I stated, that Mohsinin also means that one is also concerned for his own self. And one endeavors to increase his know-how and spiritual knowledge to excellent levels. This is a favor and kind treatment upon one's own self. That one strives to incorporate the doing of pious deeds into his life. And then to excel in that, this is also a meaning of Mohsin. Further, through that education and spiritual knowledge he has acquired, whilst benefiting his own self, whilst applying it to his own life and practicing it, he also benefits others with it. The greater the level of one's education and spiritual knowledge, combined with his efforts to utilize that to help and serve others. Correspondingly, the greater level of being counted amongst the Mohsinin does he acquire. Then he ascertains a new path, which takes one to greater progress spiritually and morally. And when the spiritual and moral advancement occurs, new perspectives of the link and association with Allah manifest Himself. One's nearness to God the Almighty enhances. He acquires greater insight into the attributes of the Exalted Lord and he progresses in taqwa. It is as if a cycle that revolves around virtues and pious acts. It takes one to high levels of taqwa, and then it takes one closer to God Almighty, and this in turn enables one to further turn towards performing virtues in an even better manner. As a result, one acquires greater spiritual knowledge regarding Haqq Allah, the rights due to Allah, and Haqq al-Abad, the rights due to mankind. Therefore, it is these aspects when a person performs with kindness and pious treatment makes a person a Mohsin by Allah the Almighty counting him amongst the Mohsinin. These are not the Mohsinin who boast about the services they provide. Rather, these are those who sacrifice for the sake of others, who bear hardships upon themselves, and they sacrifice their own rights, and then they tread upon the following principle. That they do not give emphasis upon the obtaining of their own rights. Rather, they give further emphasis upon the rights due to others. I often say to any leader that I meet or to various people of the world, those who raise objections against Islam or those who may not be fully acquainted with the true teachings of Islam. I often say this to them as well, that the emphasis of the people of the world is entirely upon the obtaining of their own rights, and they establish a standard of the rights that they should acquire, and in order to acquire that, they do whatever they possibly can to attain it. As a result, neither does the person demanding the rights act justly, and nor does the one giving the rights act justly. Muslims and non-Muslims are both involved in this. Subsequently, disorder and turmoil reign supreme. Whereas Islam gives the following teaching which Muslims should practice. And if Muslims do practice this, then all the disorder and turmoil prevalent in the world, in particular in Muslim countries at least, will never occur. So Islam gives the following teaching, that discharge the right due to others. Before a person demands his right from you, give him his right. In fact, acting favorably and kind towards him and establishing human values, become a part of the Muhsinin. Give them over and beyond what they require and their necessities. For example, it is mentioned in the Ahadith regarding the servants, male and female, that clothe your poor servants with what you wear yourself, and feed your poor servants with what you would eat yourself. If this principle was implemented in the wider perspective of the world, then the people of any country would never go hungry, and their rights would never be usurped, and they would never be without clothes. Images from various countries of Africa are beamed across the television. Children are leading lives of starvation due to shortage of food. They are on the brink of death, or they are malnourished. Mothers are also starving. They are unable to breastfeed their children. Therefore, rather than trying to seize the resources of those countries, if emphasis is given on the giving the rights to others, becoming a Muhsinin, the qualities, capabilities and abilities of others are enhanced and furthered. Poor people themselves are made to stand on their own feet. Then these problems that are prevalent in the world will vanquish. If Muslim governments took care of these matters in their own countries, and if Muslim leaders, rather than increasing their bank balance, took care of their public, and if they strove to become Muhsinin, if they endeavored to tread on taqwa, then this beautiful teaching would never allow in our Muslim countries for there to be anxiety, restlessness, and destituteness. However, unfortunately, this sorry state is most prevalent in the Muslim countries, and non-Muslims are deriving advantage from this. So therefore, whenever I have stated these facts before people, that if this condition prevails, that you act justly, then these problems that have reigned supreme in the world will finish by themselves. In reply to this, they say that this is correct, and that this is truly a beautiful teaching of Islam. However, when they return to their assemblies, then their vested interests once again come to the fore. In other words, their national interests intervene, and a race to acquire those national interests begin. National interests are indeed rightful, but only if they remain just and within the due right. They should not usurp other people's rights. As long as this is taken care of, the national rights should be fulfilled. Naturally, one takes care of his own self first. In this way, it is the responsibility of countries to take care of their own self. However, seizing the wealth and resources of others on the pretext of national interests, this is wrong. to trample upon the interests of others in order to inappropriately obtain one's own rights. This is incorrect. These are all aspects that manifest selfishness. And such actions only vent disorder and turmoil. In any case, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to walk on the path of taqwa and to be included amongst the Muhsinin. And whilst being included amongst the Muhsinin, to strive to experience the display of nearness to God and to come into the company of God. It is this state that fosters our own self-reformation and also enables us to save the society from disorder within our limited sphere and circles. We should strive and adopt divine attributes in our own respective circles in accordance to the capabilities that we possess. We should give due attention to the fulfillment of Huquq-ul Abad, the rights due to mankind. And we should remain prepared to fulfill this due. When we do so, the bounties and rewards of the world will become servants and helpers of ours. And these worldly things will become of secondary importance in our lives. Then, the same matter once again, we will advance in taqwa. When, that is, a person does this work for the sake of Allah the Almighty. In any case, from whichever angle we look at this, the pivotal point of our thought should be for the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. On this subject, Allah the Almighty states how He rewards those who are kind to others, saying in the Holy Quran, بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُسْلِمٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That nay, whoever submits himself completely to Allah the Exalted and is a doer of good, he shall have his reward with his Lord. No fear shall come upon such, neither shall they grieve. Hazrat says, therefore, Allah the Exalted states that when your pivotal point becomes my existence, then you will revolve around me. Obtaining my pleasure will become your goal. When a mu'min, a true believer, a muttaqi, a righteous person, dedicates himself completely to Allah the Exalted, then Allah the Almighty becomes his provider himself. All his griefs vanish, and all his anxieties and fears become insignificant. A person dedicates and gives up everything to Allah the Almighty and sincerely and devoutly submits before Him, and becoming a Muhsin, using all his capabilities, strengths and abilities, he serves creation and serves mankind. So what grief would come upon such a person? Both these tasks are such that they take one into the loving embrace of God. And this is the hallmark of real taqwa, the promised Messiah on whom BP says, to become a muttaqi, that is truly righteous, it is necessary that a person abandoning utterly such outstanding vices as adultery, theft, trespass, hypocrisy, self-esteem, scorn of fellow beings, miserliness, should eschew all low morals and should instead make progress in high moral values. He should behave towards his fellow beings with politeness, courtesy and sympathy, and he should cultivate with God the Almighty true fidelity and sincerity. He should constantly seek occasions of beneficent service to God. This is what deems one to be a muttaqi. He who combines all these qualities in himself alone is righteous. The possession of any one of these qualities would not entitle a person to be accounted a muttaqi or righteous unless he possesses collectively all of them. It is only concerning such people that it is said, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. On them shall come no fear nor shall they grieve. So what more should they need? God Almighty becomes their guardian, as he says. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. In other words, and he protects the righteous. He becomes their guardian. In Hadith, it is stated that God Almighty becomes their hand with which they grasp, becomes their eyes with which they see, he becomes their ears with which they hear, he becomes their feet with which they walk. And in another Hadith, it is stated that God has proclaimed that he who bears enmity towards a friend of mine, I say to him, become ready to contend with me. In still another Hadith, it declares that when anyone attacks a friend of God, he pounces upon him with such fierceness with which a tigress pounces upon one who seeks to deprive it of its young. Hazur says, therefore, how fortunate are those whose friend God becomes. Such people who God becomes the wali or the friend of, their grief and their fear completely vanishes. They focus on performing pious deeds in the future. If they performed any bad deeds in the past, they are forgiven. A person remains afraid and fearful of his future. For example, there are many asylum seekers here. They are constantly concerned about the outcome of their case and what will come of it. I have observed that some out of this fear have lost many kilograms of weight. When they meet me, fear emanates from their countenances. Others are worried about the state of affairs of their business and they remain fearful about what the future holds. There are students who are fearful and concerned about their exams. In short, the future keeps a person in fear. Until, that is, the results manifest upon them. Similarly, there is grief or sadness about what has passed in life. The greater the grief, the sadder a person becomes. Often, people of the world, due to a loss or harm to their business, become so grieved that they become permanently affected due to it. Some people even become mentally disturbed as a result. The heart of some become so affected that they lie permanently on the bed and they leave the world in this way. In any case, a muttaqi mu'min, a believing and righteous person who is kind and favorable to others, Allah says regarding them, they will fear not nor grieve. A religious and faithful person who has true insight and discernment into the attributes of God Almighty, and he tries to lead his life in accordance with those attributes. He never allows the worries of the world to seriously affect him. Indeed, even pious people face moments of grief and fear. But those are not griefs of the world. Those are griefs relating to the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. That is the fear of being saved from the anger of Allah the Almighty. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam has said in one verse of poetry that night and day are spent in this heed, that when will the beloved be pleased? So therefore this fear and concern relates to pleasing Allah the Almighty. This fear and grief draws the attention to prayer and zikr-e ilahi, that is the remembrance of God. And the sound of Allah bizikrillahi bitatma'innul qulub, that it is in the remembrance of Allah that hearts can find comfort. This assures them, and this becomes satisfaction of their heart. This removes their previous grief, and they are also assured about the removal of future grief. The fear of those who walk on the path of taqwa is the fear of love. Because taqwa means that fear or anxiety which keeps one restless to gain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. So therefore, this restlessness and anxiety, it actually strengthens the heart. Which makes one into a person who acquires the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. In contrast, the agony and restlessness of a worldly person attacks the heart of that person. One who adopts taqwa of Allah, one who is counted amongst the muhsineen, one who gives due heed towards the rights due to God and the rights due to mankind. He keeps an eye out for his actions, and he then becomes a recipient of the bounties and graces of Allah the Almighty. So therefore, this is the difference between the grief and fear of a worldly person and a righteous and religious person. So therefore, an Ahmadi needs to bring about such pious change within their own condition, which will take them to the path of taqwa, and will count them amongst the muhsineen. So that we can attain the nearness to Allah at every moment, which will remove us from the fear of this world and hereafter. If we have any grief, it should only be to infuse the love of Allah the Almighty within our hearts. In turn, this will increase the beneficences and favors of Allah upon us. When we attain the standards of God's love, then most certainly God will be with us. Then, as I stated, the favors and bounties of Allah the Almighty will increase upon us. Allah will be seeing that my servant is trying to become a Muhsin, and to attain my pleasure he is trying to adopt my divine attributes. So he will perceive that, why will I not shower him with my bounties and grace? Allah the Exalted rewards one manifold more than the efforts one makes. So therefore, when He showers His blessings upon a person, then not only will our concerns of the world be removed, rather, His favors, blessings, and rewards will become difficult for us to manage, such will be their profusion. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, inculcating a true mu'min, says that true righteousness and ignorance cannot subsist together. True taqwa or righteousness is accompanied by a nur, a divine light, as God the Glorious has said, that, O ye who believe, if you fear Allah, He will grant you a distinction. And will remove your evils from you, and will forgive you. That is, O ye who believe, if you remain steadfast in righteousness and hold fast to it for the sake of Allah the Exalted with firmness and perseverance, He will single you out from among your detractors with marked distinction. That is, you shall be blessed with a nur, a divine light, with which will accompany you wherever you go. That is to say, that light would illuminate all their actions and words and faculties and senses. Your intellect would be illuminated, and there would be light in all that you will utter. There will be light in your eyes and in your ears and in your tongues and in your speech and in all your movements. The ways along which you walk would be lit up. In short, all your ways, the way of your faculties, the way of your senses, they will all be illuminated and filled with light, and you will walk altogether in nur or light. Hazur says, therefore, when a person of Allah strives in this manner, his detractors also come under God's chastisement. May Allah enable us to acquire the standard where we attain beneficence ourselves, take beneficence to others. May we go on being safe from our detractors, and may every evil of our detractors rebound on them. When this state develops, where we absorb God's love, and where we are selfless for the service of mankind, and when we take the message of Islam to the world, we will also witness the chastisement upon the detractors of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to pray and to attain such a station. Today as well, I will lead a funeral prayer in absentia. This is a Mukarram Dr. Muhammad Amir Sahib dispenser. He was called doctor, but he was a dispenser. He was of Harnai, Balochistan, on 1st December 2011. Some unknown assailants entered his clinic, fired him, and martyred him. The news of his martyrdom was received late because there is no Jamaat where he was. Therefore, the news of his martyrdom could not be received immediately. His wife was also working in the Harnai hospital. From Qaidabad, district Khoshab, he joined the Jamaat. He is a solitary Ahmadi in his family. He was connected to Satyan organization, which is infamous for its extremism in Pakistan. This organization cannot tolerate for anyone to be converted into Jamaat Ahmadiyya and take the Pledge of Allegiance. This could be one possible reason for his martyrdom. This family lived in Muzaffargarh. In 1994, he took the Pledge of Allegiance. In 1998, he was married. He has two very young children. He was a very sincere and devoted person. May Allah the Almighty grant his forgiveness to the deceased and elevate his rank. May Allah the Almighty be contented and pleased with him. And may Allah the Almighty grant steadfastness and solace to the family he leaves behind.